This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, national average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So why do you want to learn a new language?
I'll tell you why. Because ¿dónde está el baño? Can be a very important question at times. You know, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. Fast track your language acquisition with immersive lessons designed to teach you to pick up languages in a natural way. I love the fact that I can go from my laptop to my phone to pretty much anywhere and learn the language of my choice. Not to mention, I'm bringing my communication skills to new heights. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, StarTalk Radio listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/StarTalk. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/StarTalk today.
Welcome to StarTalk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. StarTalk begins right now.
Welcome to StarTalk Radio. Bill Nye, the science guy here, guest hosting for my beloved colleague, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm here with Eugene Merman and Mike Massimino, whom we call Mass. Because it's a complicated name.
It's hard to pronounce Massimino.
Yes,
yeah. I'm glad I'm lucky I got it right.
You can't tell, but I literally just tried and failed, and I just give up.
That aside, gentlemen, I want to point out, this is Cosmic Queries edition, Star Talk Radio. So we take your questions out there in the the land of
cosmic area,
the cosmos, which includes the Earth,
Brooklyn,
and social media.
So Earth and up and down.
Wait a minute. So try one.
What the hell is
that? Here we go. Sebastian Mihalache from Romania.
I bet he's got a nickname too.
I probably am saying it wrong, but you know what? With confidence. Anyway, from Romania, he asks, which was the most important breakthrough in the history of electronics?
I think the ability to generate electricity in the first place was a big breakthrough. Instead of just getting it, if I may, just getting it from chemical processes. Is he looking for a transistor?
Is I don't know.
We don't know.
Or is he looking for a starter in an automobile?
Or he's looking for fuel cells.
Fuel cells.
Or
basically electricity.
I think electricity is the big breakthrough. But then there's been some very very interesting accomplishments.
I just wish you were like tape recorders.
Like the light bulb.
Well, for me, the story.
Radio, of course, because we're on radio.
Well, the story for me is Michael Faraday. So Michael Faraday is sticking the magnet in a coil of wire, and he induces a magnetic field to move a compass at the other end of the table during a lecture, the Christmas lectures in London.
Mm-hmm.
Woman comes up to him and says, "But Mr. Faraday, of what use is it?" And he says, "Madam, of what use is a newborn babe?" In other words, he knew this electricity had some fantastic properties, but he didn't know what it was.
He didn't mean that you could eat it.
Yeah, a newborn babe's not that useful. You know,
it's a long time ago.
Leak.
It was a different. It was a different time.
Yeah,
but all right, he meant
but
that,
in the
though.
Course of human history, it wasn't that long ago.
No, just a little bit ago.
Yeah, it's all
just
it's
before
blink.
Hogan's Heroes, I believe.
Older reference lost on many
Hogan's
of the
Heroes, I'm pretty
listeners.
Sure, was after World War II.
It probably was.
So that better was be. And this was before World War II.
It didn't foreshadow World War II.
All right, let's take another question on Cosmic Query, Star Talk Radio.
Okay, Jess Nudalo
I like the Faraday
asks,
thing.
Yeah, Jess Nadalo asks, what's new on the subject of high temperature or even room temperature superconductors? Are we getting any closer to grasping how it works? And will this knowledge, in conjunction with 3D printing, create a new industrial age?
Sounds like he's making a prediction of his own, doesn't it?
He's like, am I right? What do you think?
He's a sage.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Maybe she's a sage.
3D printing is fabulous, and
What's the state of superconductors and room temperature?
Well, I don't know that we have superconductors that work at sort of liquid helium temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants
that's
to get
them cold, though.
Yeah. Four Kelvin.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, four Kelvin sounds cold.
It's cold.
It's even colder than like Canada.
Yeah, so it's like really super cold. Canada.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be good if they work with liquid nitrogen? Wouldn't they be good if they worked with? With frozen water.
Yeah.
But it's a long way off as far as I know. But that doesn't mean it can't be done. What I would do, were I king of the forest, is invest again in these nanotubes, in the getting carbon atoms to arrange themselves in these extraordinary tubes where they have very, very low electrical resistance.
All right. Let's do it.
The 3D printing thing is here.
Suppose we 3D
amazing.
Printed carbon tubes.
Could we ever do that? Is that a thing in the future?
It seems very reasonable to me, but I'm not a carbon tube printer.
But it's quite, it's
have you guys
amazing.
Ever 3D printed? I've never done
that. Cool.
They haven't,
it's cool.
And you know they're affordable now, sort of.
You can get them at Staples.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, how?
That I didn't know.
How much are like meaning a few thousand dollars?
Yeah,
or?
Less than $2,000.
Oh wow!
And then you can make your own salt shakers.
I can't wait to go home and make salt shakers and plastic swords.
It's too bad people can't see this because it's radio. But Eugene's eyes have just lit up.
Yeah, I was like,
he's ready to get out of here and go buy a 3D printer.
Yeah,
but you know they use them. We have them in the labs in the shops at Columbia, for example, and the students learn how to use them and they do incredible things with them.
The next generation of kids will be like, why aren't you 3D printing
that?
Why are you going to a store to buy something like
this. Right,
yes. So it's additive machining. If you've not thought about it, generally when you shape something, you remove material, generally.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a process by which you add material.
Oh, it's meaning quite you don't cut out.
That's right. It's quite a different idea, and you can make shapes that are literally impossible to make heretofore. It's quite a time to be alive. It's exciting.
It's great. All right. And Sapien asks, what is the most revolutionary engineering challenge that humanity must overcome in the next 20 to 30 years?
Well, I'd say it's climate change. How are you going to do that? I would say it's going to be engineering the whole Earth. I mean, thinking of the whole Earth as a system and getting people to work together to manage that system, which would be engineering. Engineers use science to do what?
Solve problems.
And
Make things, create parties.
Make things and solve problems. That's it.
So basically, climate change.
That's what I would say.
Is the greatest.
We have a lot of people in the world and a lot more coming. And things like water and healthcare and transportation, all those things that are going to face us, engineers need to solve.
Yes. All right. That's a very reasonable and correct answer.
Oh, it's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Deplorable Perception. That is probably not someone's real name. I am guessing that is some form of pseudonym.
Unless their parents were diabolical.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So here's his question. I like that I'm like, it's a guy. how will we solve the looming question of energy storage?
That's a great question. Yeah. I am all for the liquid metal batteries. These are batteries that have magnesium floating on a layer of molten salt, essentially table salt. And at the bottom is a layer of antimony or antimony, which is the one that's atomic number 51, I believe, next to tin on the periodic table. And so you pump
all
this.
So far, this is all correct. Where's
our fact checker?
So you pump in energy and it gets hot and it's molten and it works.
How long
and it's a battery.
And how long does the storage...
Well, as my understanding, as long as it's hot, it's storing electricity. So you'd put these things in the basement of every building, in the basement of every New York skyscraper, of every school and library. You produce electricity with sunlight and wind during the day. You store it underground. You're ready for it all night. And we revolutionize society. And whoever goes into this business gets, dare I say it, rich! It's an opportunity for somebody. If we could find ways to efficiently store electricity, better batteries, we would change the world and make a much higher quality of life for everybody. So we have to move on, gentlemen. I include you, Eugene.
Thank you.
And we'll be back after this. Check us out at www.startalkradio.net. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Star Talk Radio. Bill Nye, the Science Guy here, guest hosting yet again, the time of my life, with Eugene Merman and astronaut Mike Massimino, Colin Mass. We're here. He's an engineer. Mike Mass is an engineer. Eugene, you are a...
Comedian.
Comedian.
I'm an engineer, but when I was in eighth grade, I got a -8 on a math assignment, just to give you a sense of my knowledge of math and science.
So you do understand the number line, and you appreciate negative numbers.
And I appreciate that is an absurd thing to get.
Unusual. What did your parents say when that happened?
I think they were disappointed in a teacher that would stick to logic.
They defended you.
Yeah. Well, I think they wrote him a letter saying he breeds a disgust in math.
Did they go and say he deserves at least a -4?
It was like, you should give him a 0. He earned
by
it.
The stars.
All right.
Gentlemen.
Here we go.
This is the Cosmic Queries edition of Star Talk Radio. And so where we take your questions...
And eat them.
From your Facebooks, your Twitters, all the electric the electric computer questions that the kids send in. What do you got there?
Here we go. Eugene. Julian Razzo asks, what is magnetism? How do magnets work? I know there's those things that stick to your fridge, but the force is all around us and protects us from solar bursts. I like that that's, at the end, it's a question.
It's a question?
Yeah.
That's true.
He's in the band Insane Clown Posse. Never mind.
It was really
a great reference.
I gotta
really?
Say,
no. But they have a song about magnetism.
It was really their early stuff. Now they're just completely overproduced. But that said, magnetism is generally thought of as a current, a flow of electrons, which have an electric field, which induces a magnetic field, through a term coined by my personal hero, Michael Faraday, all one word, electromagnetism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mass, you're an engineer.
Yeah.
You took a lot of physics.
I did. But I'm just amazed to hear it. This is Bill Nye, the Science Guy, explaining magnetism.
Well, as best I can. So
yes, but go ahead with the physics.
When we have a permanent magnet,
cool.
We think of a virtual current. That is to say, it's as though there's a current flowing in the magnetic material.
Yes.
Iron, cobalt, nickel.
Yeah.
Or some of these fabulous rare earths. Mm-hmm. But in the earth, which the questioner referred to, in the earth we have somehow a spinning giant mass of, by our standards, very large mass of molten iron, which carries a lot of electrons, which are in motion, which induce a current, which creates a magnetic field.
Which is very important for our survival. It keeps our atmosphere in place.
It would be a whole nother.
Atmosphere is kept here by magnets.
Partially so, yes. If we did not have our magnetic field, mm-hmm. we would... In fact, there's some theories, if you look at Mars, which does not have a magnetic field, that why did Earth survive?
Mm-hmm.
And as far as we know, at least on the surface, there's nothing obvious that's living on Mars.
If we could fill Mars's core with a hot giant ball of iron that spun, would it spin naturally if it was there?
Well, Mars is spinning at about the same...
So if we could get it in a magnetic field, it
might have had a different destiny.
Would an atmosphere be created if a magnetic field was added to it?
Might be able to be captured, possibly.
Okay,
so it's generally believed that since Mars is smaller than the Earth, it radiated more heat into space, cooled off, solidified, and any molten motion of metal inside came to a standstill. And then the solar wind, little particles streaming off the sun, stripped the Martian atmosphere away. And while we all sit here,
mm-hmm.
just a couple weeks ago, I went to Cape Canaveral for the launch of the MAVEN mission.
Cool.
Mars Atmospheric Volatile Evolution spacecraft. It's a tortured acronym, but they're going to assess the...
It's a cool acronym.
Is a cool acronym.
MAVEN's pretty good.
It's pretty good. They're going to assess the atmosphere, learn more about the atmosphere of Mars. And what happened there, why Mars is different from the Earth, and that will, I guarantee you, questioner, that will tell us more about us and our, dare I say it, place in space.
So what I'm getting from this is, theoretically, we could create an atmosphere on another planet using a great deal of iron and a bunch of various...
And scuba tanks.
Scuba tanks.
Yes.
Basically, scuba tanks, a handful of whales. All right.
But a magnetic field is
very important. It's the
it
first step is a magnetic field. Then we do the thing from Search for Spock where we bioengineer a planet. But okay. Never
You've
mind.
Got a crazy plan there.
That is crazy.
Eugene, but it...
I have the same plan
I don't
plan
know what
Kirk
you're even
had.
Talking about, but it sounds good.
It's not that crazy of
I'm looking
it.
At Bill Nye, the science guy, just to, for yeah. you know, for confirmation and on I, this, but it
well,
sounds good.
All right. Know, when you start getting into the Star Trek movies,
yeah.
there's going to be some inconsistencies. Terraforming a planet is just not that easy. But
it's not. I'm not saying it's easy. No. I'm just saying here's a few ways we could do it.
Don't underestimate right. the magnetic field.
That's, exactly.
Yes, well said.
Awesome. All right, so Lorenzo Alfondo Castanon Gonzalez asks, I would like to know more about magnetars. Can humanity one day create such a strong magnet, and how much would such a magnet advance technology? Do you, I don't know what magnetars are.
Do you know what a magnetar is,
no,
Bill?
No, it sounds like...
If Bill doesn't know, forget it.
Well, it just sounds like...
A very powerful magnet?
A musical instrument that somehow yeah. uses magnetism.
Yeah. yeah.
And I guess if one's big enough, you could influence a lot of people.
It's well, a deadly about theremin.
He's talking about some huge, strong magnet,
yeah,
obviously, here.
He definitely so, is.
By the yeah. way, we in the skeptic community
yeah.
Are troubled deeply by people who wear magnets believing that it's going to influence their health.
Really?
There's no
Not
evidence.
Even on the wrist?
There's no
Take
evidence.
Off your magnet, Eugene.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Oh my God, wouldn't I be embarrassed if I was wearing a bunch of magnets?
There's no evidence magnets. No evidence at all that we can see.
Yeah.
No evidence of all at all that magnetism affects your health. It's just right. it's just so little just next time you get an MRI,
yeah.
magnetic resonance image, just notice how much magnetism it takes just to get a few positrons to move around, just a little bit.
Yeah.
It takes an enormous...
Let alone wearing it as a magnet hat.
Yeah, it's just not going to do it.
yeah.
All right. Well, so that's good to know. Okay. So Jason Hyatt has a question. The Earth has a magnetic field that protects it from space radiation. Is there any reason why a magnetic field could not be used on a spacecraft, either for the whole ship or as an emergency shelter? An MRI scanner produces a very strong magnetic field. Why not a magnetic field generator, a la an MRI, to protect astronauts?
That is what a coincidentally happy question right
yeah.
there. If you had a strong enough magnet, yeah, you could pull it off. But our problem so far is generating enormous magnetic fields takes a lot of energy.
It's a lot of power you need.
Really? But how much?
A lot.
Like as much as a coffee maker that's like supercharged.
It'd be a little more than that. Yeah.
So like a boat, like a giant boat, a cruise ship.
Like a diesel engine on a pretty large, like a tugboat diesel engine.
Okay,
but
so that's more than you would have on your average
spaceship
on your average
because
spaceship.
Of how heavy and giant and weird.
Yeah,
that
you
is.
Don't want any big stuff like that.
You don't you want know, to fly with a truck into space.
But just yeah. imagine,
kind of defeats the purpose.
Just imagine if we had solar panels big enough. And mm-hmm. some superconducting situation in the icy blackness of space, and you could create a magnetic field strong enough. That's actually a science fictional kind of cool engineering question. But I think when, at least right now, early in the 21st century, we humans can't crank that out. We can't make such a thing. But who knows what the future
but that,
holds.
But if we started doing more space exploration, we would potentially come up with that technology down the line.
It seems like something, if you had that much power, it
yeah,
seems to make sense.
Power.
Everything but there's comes... other we do other things for space radiation.
Like suits?
like space suits. Water's a pretty good insulator, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and shielding. You know, all the and we try to understand how much you take. You know, we always wear a dosimeter when you go into space.
Oh, really?
To measure how radiation
much
you're taking.
Are you exposed to, like, when you
it's,
went?
It's a pretty good dose. It also depends. It also depends on where you are. Spacewalks, you get more than when you're inside the spaceship
right.
at a higher altitude by where we were at Hubble, as opposed to where the space station.
Oh,
is.
Oh wow! Just a few hundred, a few
yes.
tens of kilometers make a big difference.
That's right. In a length of time, you're going to be there, mm-hmm. and if there's solar flares when you're up there, so it's a bunch
oh,
of
wow.
factors. But it's nothing. It if you fly in space for over a year or so, like some people have a combined over year stay,
mm-hmm.
They have to track it and make sure you're okay. That's when you start getting a little bit curious. But we have astronauts who have flown. Scott Kelly's going to be up for a whole year is the plan. He's already been up over 6 months
oh, wow.
in his life, and
so he has to insulate himself in water.
Yes, yeah, he's going to stay out of the sun as
yeah,
much as he can.
But when you say water, you jacket the spacecraft.
Well, for example, water can yeah. So if you have a water bag like on the space station, you want to get some extra shielding.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to line the outside of your spaceship with water, for example,
do you line
good,
the outside or is there a
I
layer
mean, inside,
of water in the
inside? No, there is
okay.
no layer of water. I'm saying if you were worried about a solar flare, for example,
yeah.
in your spaceship,
And you had water bags that would help you.
That you would shield. Just add. So you just
yeah.
like.
So, no,
well, you're taking water, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. So use it as a shielding.
That's Can you drink irradiated water? It's not that irradiated.
It's fine. You're it's not going to. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's fine. It's great.
Yeah, it's no
like
problem.
A tonic. It's great. Nah, it's nothing better than irradiated water from space.
Yeah.
In fact, there's probably a market for it. There's probably somebody who really wants this
pretty
stuff.
Cool bar in Brooklyn that sells it. Whole Foods is going to
actually ask a pretty good question, Eugene.
That's not bad.
I'm going to go
but
ask them when
said,
I get back home. Wait a minute.
Hold that thought, you guys. We will be back shortly at Star Talk Radio.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Hey, remember when we did that show about the science of the golf swing? Well, let's take that to the next level. And that's because PXG has developed the Black Ops driver so golfers don't have to sacrifice distance for forgiveness. And the science proves it. PXG Black Ops driver is a breakthrough in driver technology. It's a complete and total victory in golf club engineering, unlike anything you've ever seen before. Black Ops drivers are adjustable to deliver a combined MOI of 10,000 plus for unreal forgiveness. Now that's ridiculously high. The higher the MOI, the more forgiving the club will play. So you don't have to square the ball perfectly for it to go straight and get distance. Add PXG's new advanced material face technology, and you get incredible ball speed that pushes the distance to the absolute limits. More forgiveness, more distance, no sacrifices. PXG Black Ops driver. Hit your tee shot straighter and farther. The proof is in the science. Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment. Go to pxg.com/startalk and use code startalk at checkout. That's pxg.com/startalk. Use code startalk for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/startalk, code startalk.
Welcome back to Star Talk Radio. Bill Nye, the science guy here, hosting this week for Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's on radiostical sabbatical, I suppose. Now, unlike many of you, I'm here with Mike Massimino, who flew in space, and we call him Mass.
Yep.
That's what they call
me. We haven't yet, but we do.
I'm an engineer.
But you're also astronaut, an astronaut.
And I'm here in New York City on loan at Columbia.
I like that you're on loan.
Engineering school. I'm on loan.
I really like the idea of borrowing
and
astronauts.
There's no late fees, as far as I can tell.
The other voice you hear, of course, is Eugene Merman, our providing color commentary.
Yes.
Here on the most visual medium of Star Talk Radio. Now, this is, as you may know, if you're just joining us, this is another Cosmic Queries edition of Star Talk Radio, where we embrace your questions.
Yeah.
You, the listeners, viewers, wait, you, the listeners, iPodcaster absorbers, who use your social media to provide us with your cosmic queries. Eugene.
Here we go.
Wow.
Wayne Shaw wants to know, if one were to warp space to travel a vast distance, would people existing in the space that is being warped between takeoff and destination notice anything unusual?
Well, they don't in the movies.
The people in between.
The in-betweeners.
Who's like someone's hanging out, say some people on some planet.
So
we're assuming there's someone else out there that's going to
get... I'm charmed by the idea that, well, of course, since you know, you're going through a space warp, then of course you can see whether... you got to understand that these things are big fun when you're trying to create a science fiction television show where you really don't have time to have people not speaking English, and you got to get up and down from a planet and travel around various quadrants in the galaxy or galaxies.
Mm-hmm.
But these things are more theoretical than they are. And so we will see how people do as they go between extraordinary destinations through unproven theoretical spaces in space.
Would they notice? I think this person suspects they might have seen something.
Yeah.
Would we notice anything unusual?
Right, right. This person I saw something weird at my house.
I saw something unusual.
All right.
My hamburger special looked a little bit different today than it did the other day. Is it someone warped speed through the diner?
Well, something it's like the that. Government.
Something funny's going on here, I think.
Yeah. So Josh Corona asks, in the
That's
game...
That's a very good science name,
no,
Corona.
But,
no, Corona's a good science
That's
name.
It's a solid name.
Yeah, okay.
In the game Portal, they have a gun that can create what is essentially a wormhole in a wall. With the ability to shoot two holes, one an entrance and the other an exit, i.e. the floor, ceiling, or eight. Is this possible in the laws of physics?
Oh, sure. You'll be fine. Just go get the gun and shoot it this way, and then very quickly shoot it the other way before the other hole closes. So, there.
Good to know. Ooh, he has another question. How bold.
Wow. I need to start playing more video games, apparently. I don't know what this kid is talking about here, but go ahead.
Okay, so he also asks, yep, if you had to guess which could be achieved first, light speed travel or teleportation?
So teleportation is like they did on Star Trek. You get all like wobbly, next thing you know, you're somewhere else.
But haven't scientists already teleported light? Isn't that a thing that somebody did in a lab?
Just everybody.
No.
First of all, as far as we know,
we're missing out on something.
Light speed
first,
already
it's the
exists.
Portal game where guys shooting holes or worms or whatever it is. Where have I been?
Yeah.
You've been in space on the government payroll.
I think I've missed out on a lot of things, Bill. Like some guy teleported?
No person.
Could that be big news?
No person did. Bill,
let's start with the first one. Right now, we don't know of any way to send something that has mass beyond up to the speed of light.
Right.
Right now. There may be a whole nother physics yet to be discovered.
Right.
Perhaps this questioner will be the person that makes the discovery.
Yeah.
He's got to stop playing the game Portal.
Yeah, and go back to physics class. And then the second thing, teleportation, where you turn mass into pure energy.
Not me.
No, I was going to say.
You talked about my name.
You could be an example.
You can turn mass amino. You can turn mass amino into pure energy, beam him down to what we generally refer to as the planet, mm-hmm, and then he's reconstituted. That would be converting mass into energy back into mass. Could be done, but consider E equals MC squared. It's a tremendous amount of energy to convert even a small amount of mass into something.
Well, so even...
It may happen.
So maybe just a piece of corn? So let's start with something instead of a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or should we start with just one element?
Well, I think if you could get anything, a carbon atom would be pretty extraordinary, even hydrogen.
But in that sense, you're saying teleportation is potentially theoretically possible before...
Just shooting from the hip, yeah.
Yeah.
But going faster than light right now.
I'd take either one. How far are you going to teleport to? See, light speed travel, Eugene, can get you places quickly.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm not sure about the teleport. How far are we going? Are we going
it's
like
sort
an
of
elevator?
A tautology.
Or are we going to Mars with this?
Yeah. I think we might
I got a feeling we need the light speed first.
It might just be Boston.
Because if you teleport somewhere, we're going to... Yeah, Boston, we can get there anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm going to teleport you to Mars. You're going to get this...
There's no place to go.
Right, because there's no restaurants there.
Exactly. I think we need light speed travel first.
All
check
right.
the place out.
Well, he's not asking what we need first. He's asking what's more realistic. And the answer is.
I know, but I don't know. I'm not a swami.
Sounds like teleportation.
You think
barely.
So?
Barely.
That's what Bill says.
Yeah.
I'd take either one. I'd rather light speed travel. Let's go fast. Let's enjoy it.
All right.
Let's punch it.
Let's enjoy the ride.
This is Star Talk Cosmic Queries.
Yep.
We encourage you all to check us out on www.startalkradio.net. If you've got SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Pinterest, Instagram, Tumblr, I say party on. Start with Facebook and just go wild. And of course, when you're listening to Star Talk Radio, stay tuned. Welcome back to Star Talk Radio. Bill Nye, the science guy here, hosting this week your cosmic queries, your questions from the cosmos. And I am here with an astronaut, an engineer, and so far a gentleman, Mike Massimino.
It's still early,
Bill. Colin Mass, and of course, everybody's favorite, Eugene Merman. Eugene, there you have questions on pieces of paper, queries from the cosmos.
Cosmic
I say pick
queries.
One.
Let's do it. David Terrazas asks, what does a rocket push against in space to gain momentum or navigate?
Oh, mass. That's your thing.
That's what we do in space. And it's a great question because if you know you don't have any gravity.
Mm-hmm.
So when you navigate your spaceship, you need to point it in different directions. There's a couple ways to do it. Hubble Space Telescope, for example, has no fuel on board, so there's
what?
No rocket. Can
How
you believe
crazy.
That?
How does it turn?
It turns
Someone pushes
with,
it? With, little kids?
No, there's no one there to push it. There's nobody
you said no fuel. You didn't say no little kids.
You didn't what say no a lot of
it's
things.
It's reaction wheels.
No lions.
It's what we. It's reaction wheels.
What's so reaction things, wheels?
Reaction wheels spin, and they have big control moment gyros, which is kind of the same thing on the space station.
Mm-hmm.
These things spin. Bzz, you know, they spin up, and they creates a reaction, and that reaction creates an opposite reaction.
Right.
You spin them in a certain direction, and you'll get a reaction in the other direction, and the thing will point where you want
Are
it.
They sort of gyroscopes? Is that
exactly.
What
that's
what
right. Yeah, spinning. That's one way. The other way we did on the space shuttle and on mm-hmm. other spaceships do this. In fact, the space station has this on the Russian end, or mm-hmm. what we call thrusters. And what is it? It's gas.
Yeah.
Could be nitrogen, could be something else,
yeah.
but just a gas. There we go.
It could be just on the Russian.
It sounds like that, except you can't hear them in space. You can't hear it in space.
It's just sadness.
You, do hear it, you hear it inside of the spaceship shaking. It is, yes. So anyway, you these thrusters will release, again, it'll cause an action,
mm-hmm.
which is the release of a gas and a little rocket, and then you'll have a reaction the other way. So on the space shuttle, we had large and small thrusters, mm-hmm. different varieties all over the spaceship, mainly in the front at the nose and in the back that you would fire to get the correct orientation.
Just like you have the steering wheels on a car in the
yes,
front.
Yes, exactly. You can steer all you want. You're not going to go anywhere. Your control surfaces do not work because there's no air. When you're coming down on the shuttle, even because it looked like an airplane,
yeah,
it will not be active until you pick up atmosphere. So the way you turned and pointed and steered that space shuttle
yeah.
was with these little thrusters that would fire jets.
That's the one
we
accurate thing
jets.
From gravity.
But let me
yes,
back up
exactly
on this.
Right.
Let me back up on this question.
Back
yes,
up.
Is there anything to push against? And the whole idea, mm-hmm. when you watch the rocket leave the ground, it gives you the impression that the flames and gases are pushing against the Earth. But that's not really what's going on. You're throwing gas, hot gas, out the back of the rocket so fast that the reaction is the rocket goes off in the other direction. Stand on a skateboard and throw a bowling ball to your best friend or maybe your enemy, and you will find that the skateboard goes off in the other direction.
Right.
This works whether or not you're on the Earth or in space.
So basically the rocket fuel is just the biggest bowling ball we can create. That's,
and it goes fast.
More or less.
Yeah. All right,
and,
here's
and
another
we don't
question.
Throw it at our enemies.
Okay, Melissa K. asks, if you had a large enough space sphere of water floating in the space station, could a fish swim in it?
Oh, how cool.
Yes, I would. Yeah, in fact, we've done this with Swedish fish, the candies.
But my Swedish fish Garrett don't have to live.
No, but theoretically, I think that would work. Water is, you could have a tank of water mm-hmm. and have a fish floating in there. I don't see why we wouldn't be able to do that. And water itself works just on surface tension, so it doesn't splatter. So mm-hmm. if you were very creative, you could get a glob of water and
try to get
and
a
have
fish
a fish
inside
in it. You wouldn't even need a tank.
No, but you have to be really careful because as soon as it hits something, it'll splatter.
And you don't want the fish nuzzling his or her way out of the sphere of water.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure there have been experiments with fish in space, and so yes, this is definitely possible.
Because they'd have something to
breathe. It would be a nice Christmas gift. You know, imagine having a little pet fish floating around. We have to get pets flown, and this would be a good way. So right now we've had fish as experiments. This would be like a nice little
gift. What animals have been in space? I mean, with astronauts, not just like monkeys that can't make it back or something.
Right, or the dog Laika.
Yeah.
There's been spiders in space. There have been some rodents in space that were used for experiments.
Oh, okay.
No pets, though. Again, it's all experiments.
Let me ask you this physics question, Mike Mass.
Yes.
The fish are going to breathe air dissolved in the water. When you have a glob of water in space, does the air bubble its way out, effervesce, or does it stay in there?
It depends. It can stay in there. If nothing's acting on it, it will stay in there. In fact, this is a problem with our drink bags, Bill, when we spacewalk, because you don't want air in your drink bag.
No air in your drink bag.
So what we do is when you fill a bag of water, your drink bag for your spacewalk, it's see-through. You can see that there might be air pockets. We rotate the bag. We spin it. I'm spinning right now to get the air.
Like the bucket over your head.
That's right. Yeah. You spin it to try to get the air to one location, and you suck it out. So you can get air pockets, and you want to get rid of
those air pockets. We'll be right back on Star Talk Radio.
Do you want to set up your child for success? Of course you do. Maybe you want to save money on private tutoring, or maybe it's just out of your budget altogether. Is this a big school year for your child? Like maybe they're starting kindergarten, middle school, or high school, or some other milestone. Maybe your family moved and they're starting at a new school. Is your child ahead? Not getting challenged enough in class? Well, we love that little smarty, but we want them to be engaged. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or the personality. There's one site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Kids can use it at home on the computer or on the go through the app on your phone or your tablet. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. And no more trying to figure out how to explain math equations or grammar rules yourself. IXL has built-in explanation videos. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Star Talk Radio listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/StarTalk. Visit IXL.com/StarTalk to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Welcome back to Star Talk Radio. Bill Nye, the Science Guy here, guest hosting as we take your cosmic queries on Star Talk this week. And we have come to the last segment of this show, which means the lightning round, my friends, where we take your questions from you, the cosmos, and put them on the air for your, let's say, electromagnetic enlightenment. I'm here with Mike Massimino, call him Mass, and Eugene Meyerman. Merman. Yeah.
You're lucky you got a name like Nye.
Yeah, that's all yeah. I can
you know,
do.
If you had a
it's
name
really
like,
me.
You know, hey, Nyowitz or anytime you try Nikowski. To text it, though.
But you guys, I appreciate
I mean,
your...
You've been spoiled. Bill Nye. That's a very simple name.
It's like simple enough. But with
Eugene
that said...
Eugene and I over here are suffering.
Gentlemen, it's the lightning round.
Let's
we can't,
do
we
it.
Can't, we
what?
Just got to press.
Okay.
Eugene, read
you're
one.
Ready?
So these are supposed to be fast answers.
Fast.
Like lightning.
Marco Horvat... from Bakersfield, he asks, people that see UFOs claim to see strange lights. Why on earth would a spaceship of an advanced civilization need lights on the outside of their ship?
To see where they're going, like headlights.
I don't know. I think we need more evidence that these are actually UFOs.
Oh, that.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yes, the answer
I think they're seeing airplanes.
Yeah, they're
that's
seeing
what
other
I think
stuff.
They're saying.
So that's the answer. Mike Johnson from Barstow, California asks, how close would an alien civilization have to be to discover Earth using the same technology we have here?
Oh, that is a fabulous question. Now, just to talk more about me, when I took astronomy from Carl Sagan, this is the
you
first
did?
Question.
Really?
Yeah. Did you put it back? No, I was just in the room. I was just one guy. So we had
must
this.
Must have been a fun class.
It was cool. So we had this image of this organism eating little organisms, ingesting them and spitting them out.
This is astronomy?
Yeah. And it turned out to be an image of a swimming pool taken from a satellite. So you have to get extraordinarily close to really determine whether or not something's alive or you'll get fooled.
Right. But
I think they need to be pretty close to us. Like,
all right.
A couple meters.
Yeah. We just left the solar system now, right, with Voyager. So they couldn't be much further than that, I guess. So hopefully they're just on the other end, but yeah.
All right. Here's a question from Matthew Brown. Is there a theoretical limit to the size of a sun? I keep seeing graphics comparing our sun to larger and larger solar giants. Just how big can they get?
Well, but you get to be a few hundred solar sun diameters, you become a black hole.
Really?
Yeah, you become a star that has so much gravity, light doesn't escape. A black hole is, in a sense, a
star. Would you describe it as over a million whales?
Big whales.
That wouldn't be inaccurate, but it wouldn't be the most
whale?
Accurate way to describe it.
A big whale. You're talking about a big whale.
Well, but over a million
not a little
by
baby
a factor
whale.
Of, I guess, 10 to the 19th or something, yeah.
Like the whale that's hanging from Neil's museum.
Exactly.
For those of you who have been to New York City, to American Museum of Natural History.
So a sun that was too big would just become a black hole. It would collapse.
Yeah. Well, that's what apparently it does. They do.
Oh, great. Now, now I know how to make a black hole. Thanks.
Look out, world.
Jason Paisley asks, when the sun gradually expands, will its expanding mass push Earth farther out of orbit before Earth becomes consumed?
No, it won't push it out. It will absorb it. Yeah, so the Earth would stay about in its same orbit, and then the sun will expand to cook.
It's not going to be a good day either way.
So the sun is an Earth eater.
Yeah, it's not, we don't want to experiment with that either to find out.
Okay, David Loza asks, what if neuron receptors in the human body were to react at the speed of light?
Well, they react at the speed of electromagnetism between atoms.
It's pretty quick, isn't it?
It's pretty quick.
But if we change that?
But in other words, I get it. This would be instead of acting. Instead of having
diabolical.
Instead of having the neurons go at chemical speeds, they would go at light speed. Well, I guess it would be, what's that, a factor of about a million. Maybe 10 to the 7th. Might be 10 million.
Okay.
It's really fast.
What would be the advantage? Could we run faster?
Yeah, what can we get out of it?
I guess we could do everything faster.
Really? Can we think faster?
A million times faster?
It seems to me, yeah, but then it has to be hooked up and you have to address capacitance issues. And, you know, we are made of a liquid chemical brain.
Yeah.
It'd be tough to enjoy things.
Speak for yourself, Bill.
It would give a new meaning to take a moment and relax. I just did. Take a second and relax.
All right, here's a question.
Coffee breaks would be like instantaneous.
Okay, Jacob Seymour asks, is the shape of a black hole a sphere with high density in the middle pulling space in toward the center, or is it a flat disk with a point of high density pulling it down in the middle like a funnel?
I believe it depends. And this is where Neil deGrasse Tyson would be more into this.
This is a Neil question.
I'm not an astrophysicist, but... Well,
I could answer it incorrectly, though.
Go ahead. Yeah, good. Yeah, so, no, no, no. It's an or. Take a shot.
Well, 50-50. Just whenever you have take any asymmetry, this gravity's pulling all this stuff together from extraordinary places in space, they're not going to come in perfectly evenly. Mm-hmm. So in general, they will start spinning, like the ice skater when she pulls her arms in.
Yeah.
And so you'll often get a disc that is measurable, perceivable, detectable.
All
so
right.
The answer, I believe, is it depends, and Neil can get on here and light me up. Yeah. See, that's a pun. See, because it's a black hole. Get it? That's brilliant. Well, you guys, thank you all for listening to Cosmic Queries here on Star Talk Radio. I have been joined by Mike Massimino, astronaut who flew in space, and of course, Eugene Mirman. Turn us up loud on Star Talk Radio. Podcast it. Blast it.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.